بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد continuing the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat belief number 5 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything no atom or speck in the universe is concealed from the knowledge of Allah ta'ala his knowledge is so encompassing that never is was or will ever be even the slightest change or adulteration in it nothing of the future and past in every aspect of time and place is out of the knowledge of Allah ta'ala His quality of knowledge is unlimited. Everything is encompassed in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala at every moment. He listens to everything's voice and call, whether it is in the heavens or earth. He even hears the sounds of the movements of the smallest ant that moves beneath the seven earths. He hears the sound of the entire universe at one at the same time. The sound of one thing does not overcome or interrupt the sound of another in his hearing. He sees everything in the universe at one at the same time. No screen or darkness can ever separate his sight from it. Belief number 6. He is the most loving, most kind and most merciful. He does as he pleases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. He is kind to his servants. He is the true sovereign. Only he can protect his servants from calamities. He alone is the owner of respect. He is most exalted. He forgives sins. He is all powerful. He has power over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants in abundance. He distributes sustenance and He straightens sustenance for whomsoever He wishes and He expands sustenance for whomsoever He wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lowers and elevates whomsoever He wishes. He honors and disgraces whomsoever He wishes. He is the most just. He is most tolerant. He is most appreciative of service rendered to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as and supplications. He encompasses everything. That is His knowledge and His power. No work of His is void of wisdom. He fulfills the needs of all. He had initially created all, and He will create all a second time on the day of Qiyamah. Only He grants life and death. All can recognize Him by means of His signs and actions, but no one can comprehend the reality of the being and qualities of Allah Ta'ala. He accepts the repentance of the sinners. He punishes those deserving punishment. Allah is the one who grants guidance. He does not sleep, nor does slumber overcome Him. He does not tire by looking after the entire universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains all things. Belief number 7. Allah ta'ala is the creator of effects, qualities and specialities of elements, just as Allah is the creator of the elements itself. For example, just as Allah ta'ala created fire and water, Allah ta'ala created heat in the fire and coolness in the water. If for any reason Allah ta'ala wishes to remove these qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got the full ability to do so. We look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was thrown in the fire and the fire became cool for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah is the one who created the fire and the effect of the fire also of heat. Allah is the one who created it. Allah created food and the ability for the food to satiate us. That's also Allah created. If Allah wishes to remove it, you can eat all the food, but you don't get satiated. So all of this lies in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, majority portion of Surah Nisa was recited from the last quarter of the first para, and the whole first, and then the fourth para, and a few pages are left. Inshallah, tonight will be recited in the Taraweeh Salah of the continuing the, of Surah Nisa. So, in the surahs before this, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala mentioned many political and other aspects of Iman and Islam with regards to business, etc. But in this surah, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala specifically mentions about our social life. Our life at home, lives with the families. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences this surah, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqoo rabbakum. Because the basis of all of this, of looking and fulfilling the rights of children, rights of family members, is to have taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, maybe outside, you can still have police forces and you can have all of these things. But in the house, it's only husband and wife, there's children, sometimes they are orphans, there's no one to fight for their rights. The only thing which will allow a person and force a person to fulfill the commands of Allah ta'ala is taqwa. Taqwa means to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to realize Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Allah has got full control over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do as He wants to with you people. So as long as this taqwa is not within a person, then it's very difficult for a person to fulfill rights. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fulfillment of rights. And Allah ta'ala says, why must we fulfill rights? Because we have all come from one soul and husband and wife, and then Allah ta'ala spread us out in the world. So all of us are interlinked to one another, and we've got rights over one another. Allah has created rights. And when a person has got taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll fulfill rights. The first of rice Allah Ta'ala mentioned is of the orphan child. One is a normal child living in your house, but one is the orphan child. He's got out, he's no father, he's not there. And if a person's father passes away before he becomes mature, he's regarded as an orphan in Shariat. And now mostly their rights are taken away, are usurped, because there is no one to demand their rights, to fight for their rights. So Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself fights for their rights. And Allah ta'ala commands us to look after the orphans, fulfill their rights, and do not take haram, do not steal their wealth and take it away. So much so that the women folk also amongst the orphans, they got a lot of wealth now, you want to go and get married to them just so you can take away that wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is not correct. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you want to get married also, the rights of the wife must be kept in mind. In the past, people used to get married to 50 wives, 60 wives. How will a person fulfill the rights? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you know, get married 2, 3, or 4 wives. And there also, if you cannot, you are not just, you fear that you cannot make justice amongst them, then get married to one, or whatever what you have slave girls, in those times it was allowed, so that you will not make zulam and oppression. So the main reason Allah has given permission for men to get married to 2, 3, 4 wives, polygamy, and not more than the day, is that they must not cause zulam and oppression upon their wives. Today this is also a very big masala in the world. If you look at the Quran, the statement of the Quran is that actually is to have is polygamous marriages. And if Allah has given the command 2, 3, or 4, if you can't maintain it, then you go on to the second level, which is rukhsat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the end of his life, the last 10 years or 12 years of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, it was all only polygamous marriages. Nabi alayhi salam was given permission for even more. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the normal groups of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, maybe besides two or so, it's established every one of them had a polygamous marriage. So those people who try to justify and say, no, actually the one original is one, this is completely against the Quranic teachings and the way of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. If because of some weakness in ourselves, that we maybe financial reasons, or we frightened of society, or the woman can't marry, or whatever, like that, and we keep one wife, there's a different issue altogether. But we must understand the origin, the demand of Quran Sharif, and the normal sunnah of Sahaba radiallahu anhu was having more than one wife. And this is also protection of the woman folk, because Allah Ta'ala has made, according to Maulana Qasim al-Nawfi rahmatullahi, there will always be two women to one man. Now, if there isn't polygamous marriages, what's going to happen? If every man, if there's 1 million men and 2 million women, so 1 million men will get married to 1 million women, 1 million women will be left out now. No one will get married to them. Now, what's going to happen to that 1 million? That they will get involved in zina and all other wrongdoings. Or the woman will be living at home. There won't be anyone to look after her. Her life will become difficult. So we must understand that what is the demand of the Quran Sharif. Our weaknesses, as Hazrat mentioned, iman is, we have to believe in the Quran Sharif. We've got weaknesses within ourselves, we must say it's my weakness. But don't justify, and because of the Western society, we try to change the meaning of the Quran and we try to justify. This is the command of the Quran Kareem. And Allah said, in khiftum, you people are frightened, not if other people are frightened that you won't be able to make justice. If you yourself are frightened, I can't fulfill the rights of them. And then get married to one wife. And also there, it's not so difficult. Like a person, there are some stories of our buzruks, our elders, how particular they were. Hazrat Ami rahmatullah, like cutting the watermelon in half. Those ulama say, mustahab actions, mundub, it's good. But it's got nothing to do with the law of Shariat. Such levels of piety, and that's for a very pious buzruks, whatever. But that's not the law of Shariat. Equality means that night you must spend an equal amount of hours with them. And looking after them, there's some kind of equality there. That is what equality means. Otherwise, no sahaba would have ever got married a second wife if it was so difficult. The laws are is simple, and the actual objective of this is so the rights of the woman must be protected. If every woman is married in society, and in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, as soon as one husband passed away, woman got divorced, after her iddat, somebody would take her. So there was no woman who were unmarried in the society. So because of this, the society is protected from zina, from all kinds of immorality, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues mentioning the rights of the orphan person, and how a person must look after them and give them their wealth. And normally what happens is at the time of inheritance, they are not given their wealth. So Allah Ta'ala mentions the law of inheritance in great detail here. Yusrikumullahu fi awladikum. And normally, like example, salat and zakat. Allah says, perform salat, give zakat. But the details are not mentioned. But when it comes to inheritance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the juz'iyat, the finer points also, what the boy will get, what the girl will get. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it. In the time of the Arabs, the woman folk would not be given anything at all, any wealth at all. They say this woman can't ride a horse, she can't fight in war. Why must we give her inheritance? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the rights of the woman. So in this surah, many rights of the woman have been given.
And as Hazrat mentioned about two or three days ago, that how beautiful is the Islamic law of inheritance, that the woman, even though she's getting such a big portion because she's got no responsibilities, and still Islam is giving her such a big portion. Actually, if you look at it, she's getting much more than what the man is getting at the final result. But anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in great detail. And then Allah says, these are hududullah, these are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who follows Allah and His Rasul, Allah will enter them into Jannah, Jannat, flowing beneath their rivers, and they will remain there forever and forever. And remember, this is the final action of a person's life, leaving this world, in this heaven, Islamic world, following the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he passes away. And on the other hand, whoever disobeys Allah and His Rasul, and he exceeds the bounds, Allah will enter him into the fire, and he will live there for an extremely long time, and for him will be a very disgraceful punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So this is very important, our inheritance, and our wills must be written up in our country we are living, a non-Muslim country, especially if a person has got minor children, and he passes away without a will, then there is a trust fund which has to be set up, so much of money has to be used there, all of the wealth of the child is taken away. That is why it's very important for every person to have a will, and to write down his will, so that after he's leaving this world, there isn't any problems, and according to exactly what the Sharia says. And that many times it happens, that we are going to get inheritance from somebody, but we're going to get a smaller portion. So a person must be happy with that portion. Be happy with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will put barakah and blessings in that wealth. And when a person wants to go against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take money, which is not rightfully his, there is no difference between him going to a bank and taking a gun and pointing it at people and stealing that money. And here you're stealing it from the orphan children, you're stealing it from your sisters. Many people are not prepared to give the women folk, the sisters especially. Father passed away now, three brothers, four sisters. So they don't give the sisters their proper inheritance. They'll give them a small amount of money, make them happy, or they'll tell them, you make us maaf. The woman will say, I make you maaf. That is not counted in the Shariat. The person must ensure that we are giving our inheritance in the correct way. Otherwise, we are actually stealing the money of that person, usurping it, and there can never be barakah and blessings in that wealth. So this is something of great importance. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you have made a mistake, then Allah has opened the doors of tawbah for you. Innama tawbatu, make tawbah. Go and correct your matters. Go and see what has done wrong in the past, and try and correct a person's matters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tawbah will remain for a person until the time of death comes, when a person is leaving this world, till that time. And after the time when the harhara, when the throat is, the soul is leaving the body, now it's too late for a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other rights of human folk, that don't keep them by you. Wa'ashirun, if they want to go out, or you can't inherit woman by force. The woman, somebody passed away, you inherit her, my brother's wife, I'm taking her now inheritance. Unfortunately, till today, until the Islamic government came in Afghanistan, many of these oppressions used to take place. But now the Islamic law is there. So the people, let us inherit the woman folk. So things we hear in the Quran Sharif is actually found in today's times. Alhamdulillah, with the new government, they have tried to remove all of these incorrect beliefs of the people and customs. And Allah says, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Love with them in a beautiful way. As the Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to mention in the tafsir of this, that despite the crookedness, learn to make sabr with them and make ihsan upon them. A person must learn to, not only when they do wrong to us, even if they do wrong, the person has to be kind to and show compassion to his woman folk. And Allah Ta'ala says, if you dislike them, then perhaps you dislike something in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a lot of goodness. She's got one weakness, but she's got 10 goodness. Don't look at the one weakness, look at that 10 good. And she's created from a crooked rib. If you try to straighten her, you're going to break her. If you want a perfect woman, then you're not looking for a woman, you're looking for a man. Because Allah has made a man straight, and a woman is crooked. So it's impossible for her to become completely straight. So definitely she'll have her weaknesses in her. And if a person understands that, then it'll be easy to live with his wife. But if not, for any small thing your person is looking and finding faults, there will be many, many faults in every person. We ourselves have got so many faults. Allah give us tawfiq that we overlook, and a person learns to make sabr. Hazrat mentioned many times that the Buzrugs have mentioned that if a man, he's got many weaknesses and faults, but he learns how to tolerate his wife and live with his wife, then amongst the awliya Allah, this man is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by learning to tolerate and having the quality of sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the rights of women folk regarding the mihr. This must be given to them. This is a means of honor for them, and not like how the prostitute is given some money and it's done secretly. Allah said, do not have girlfriends, do not take, but give the woman their rights. Who can you get married to? Who you can't get married to? Incest is not allowed in Islam. So family members, it's not permissible for you to get married to, for example, your daughter or your mother-in-law or your mother. All of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited it. Two sisters getting married to them at one time, this also is not permissible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these rights of the woman folk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says sometimes in fulfillment of rights, in inheritance, in all of these matters, somebody has desire, but the other person has got, he wants to have, this desire, this greed comes in him, jealousy comes into him. Or sometimes a woman wants to be like a man, she wants to, in today's time, unfortunately, we see women actually becoming, they want to become like men. And men are becoming like women. We are living in an amazing zamana, amazing time. Went to one doctor, one person went, and he took his family, the women folk. So the nurse came and said, the doctor, he's coming just now. So he said, I thought it was a female coming to see my wife, to see my family member. So the nurse said, I don't know how to explain this to you. It was a male. It was a male before. Now he's a female. So a person doesn't even know nowadays. We are living in such a time. This happened in South Africa, in other countries to a greater extent, where men are becoming women and women are becoming men. Allah curses. Nabi Al Islam has cursed such people. So Allah says it's sometimes the desire comes in a person. But what Allah has given certain qualities to some people, Allah has made a man a man. A woman mustn't desire that. For men is whatever portion what they have earned, they will get in the year after. And women, they will get whatever rights and responsibilities Allah has given them. And whatever you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is within, example, wealth, etc., ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows everything and Allah knows what's beneficial for you, what's harmful for you. Allah will give to a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has made a man responsible over the woman folk. Because they are some, because of the fazilat and virtue which Allah has given them. That is, in this worldly life, Allah has given man, made him the Amir, the person in charge. So Allah has given him that virtue. And because they are spending of their wealth. When they start spending of their wealth, and they are looking after the woman folk, then that marriage will remain correct. In Saudi Arabia recently, when the woman started going to the workplace, I think in the first year, about 80% or something like that of divorces there was in the country. Until eventually they had to make a law in the country that if any woman wants divorce from her husband, then she has to pay back her whole mehr, and the mehrs are very high. Then only the divorce rate came, it got a bit under control. But otherwise, as soon as the woman left their homes, the divorce rate increased to a very great extent in the country. Because now once they have got their own wealth, I don't need my husband. So Allah has made it such that the woman, when she's dependent on her husband, then in marriage will remain. She'll make a bit of sabr also, and the house will continue. And as I mentioned, the woman, they are in their mind, they are a bit deficient. They make very hasty decisions. So a lot of times she says, I want out. And she, because I got money now also. So no marriages will remain like this here. And we go to other countries where the Islamic system is still common. When we were in Afghanistan, we were asking the brothers, what's the divorce rate? See, we don't hear of divorces. We don't know anything about divorces in our country. There's no such thing as a divorce rate. Whereas in the countries which are following the Western system, the more they follow the Western system, the more the divorce rate has increased. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the way of islah and reforming. If a man has to reform his wife, these laws are mentioned here in detail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions not only for the husband and wife, but all family members. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not take any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then be kind to your parents and family members and the orphans and the poor people and the neighbors and the traveler and even your servants and your slaves, they have got rights. Fulfill everybody's rights. Why won't a person fulfill rights? Because he's got pride and arrogance within himself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. When a person has got arrogance and pride, then he won't be prepared to fulfill the rights of people. So the actual way of fulfilling rights of people is to have tawazu and humility. When a person has got humility, then only will a person fulfill the rights of others. He won't demand his rights. But he say, I need to fulfill the rights of people. I have to stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. What answer am I going to give? Then a person will fulfill the rights of people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be protected. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this year, it's very important a person's mind must be correct. So one way why the mind is taken away is because of drinking alcohol. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this, Allah has made it, prohibited it, especially at the time of Salat. And Allah has given you a pure religion. Allah has given you the actions of like wuzu. Allah has given you tayammum to keep yourself pure. So a person keeps himself pure, then it becomes easy for a person to look after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the people of the past, when the book of Allah ta'ala was in their hands, how they went against it. They did not fulfill this amanat and trust. But the people of Iman, they fulfilled the trust. Allah has given the command, you must fulfill trust. So they fulfill their trust. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and to fulfill this trust is to fulfill the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, there was two people. They came, there was a case, a Jewish person and a Muslim was actually a munafiq, a hypocrite. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam gave a decision in favor of the Jewish person. So the hypocrite was a bit upset, and he knew Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like the Jews. So he said, let's go to Umar radiallahu anhu and try to sort out this matter. So they went to Umar radiallahu anhu. So when the Jew told Umar radiallahu anhu, I went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he decided in my favor, and now this person is not happy, so he came to decide by you, you must make a decision. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, is that the case? He asked that person, he said, yes. Hazrat Umar said, I will make the decision now. He went in his room, he brought his sword, and he struck the head of that person, he killed that person. And the other people started making a big noise about it. So actually this was irtidad, he had left the fold of Islam, because the clear command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went against it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many ayats of the Quran Sharif down, showing that the action of Umar radiallahu anhu was correct. That فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says, he takes a qasam that you cannot have iman until you don't make Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam a hakam, a judge in the matters in which you are having arguments amongst yourselves. And then whatever the decision Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passes, you mustn't have any ill feeling, or any, your heart must not become straightened, or يُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. And a person must accept the commands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wholeheartedly. Allah give us a level of iman that whatever is the commands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what has reached us, we wholeheartedly submit to the commands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and accept it. This is a sign of iman within a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that the protection of the Shariat will take place through jihad. And through, in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, it was hijrat also. So Allah ta'ala mentions the law of jihad here, and the law of hijrat also, how a person has to sacrifice his lives. And what a reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for a person who will make hijrat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think I won't get death, if I go in jihad, I'm going to die, so I'd rather not go in it, Allah says no. Wherever you may be in life, if the time of death is written for you, it'll definitely come to you. You cannot run away from death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever goodness comes to you, it is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever evil comes to you, it is from your own side, because of your own evil doing. As Mullah Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah used to give a lot of emphasis on this ayat of the Quran. And whenever somebody used to say, I'm getting pride in my actions, I'm doing a few actions and I'm getting pride, so they would say, read this ayat here. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ Whatever goodness comes to you is only from Allah. And whatever gunas and sins you have got, then it's from your own self. So daily Hazrat will make people repeat this ayat of the Quran Sharif, so that this reality must come into us. Ma, this is a cure for pride. Whatever goodness, immediately we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever weakness is because of my gunas and my sins. Anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they continues mentioning about the importance of following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and then the group of the hypocrites who will always try to cause harm to the Muslims. But Allah said, whatever actions they are doing, Allah will protect Iman and Islam, and Allah will throw all of their efforts back on their faces and will completely destroy their efforts and whatever wrongs they are doing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the protection of the rights of people is that in jihad also, sometimes you will have to kill. But if another group wants to make aman and safety, then you also have safety with them. You write a peace treaty with them. Don't fight. Our object is not fighting. Our object is to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. And if you kill a Muslim mistakenly, there are certain punishments. Even mistakenly, you're not supposed to have killed a Muslim person. There is diyat, you have to give blood money, and you have to keep some rozas, or you have to free a slave, or you have to keep get a kafara for it. And if you purposely kill a Muslim person, the punishment is extremely severe. According to this ayat, فَجَزَاءُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا His punishment is Jahannam forever and forever. The same punishment of kufr and disbelief is the punishment for killing and murdering a person. And in today's time, murder has become so common. We say we don't see murder, but abortion is also one form of murder, which because of zina has becoming common, adultery, fornication, so abortion takes place to such a great extent. This is killing a person intentionally. The severe warnings regarding this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in whether it's in hijrat or it's in jihad, a person is going out and there's some regarding salat, Allah has given some concessions regarding salat also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people want to go out in the path of Allah ta'ala on the road, they pass away, they haven't reached their destination. Allah said the reward is already for them because they had the intention. Hazrat Mulana Shawali Tanvi rahmatullah, this is the path, those on the path of suluk, those who want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are on the path and they have to pass away on the road. Even if they've walked to a certain extent, فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ According to his intention was to reach Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, he will wake up amongst those people who had reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if our intention is correct, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are walking on that path, to whatever extent, like the Hafiz who is learning, one ayat, as Hazrat mentioned yesterday, two ayat is learning, he passes away. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected as a Hafiz of Quran. So a person who is also on the path of suluk, of reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, small steps he is taking. But inshallah, he will wake up on the day of Qiyamah amongst those people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues mentioning the rights of of people for quite a bit. Allah Ta'ala mentions about the kuffar and disbelievers and the acts of shaitan, how he tries to divert people. One of the ways of diverting people is فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They must change how Allah Ta'ala created them. As we had mentioned, men becoming women, etc. This is one way. Ulama say another way of changing the khalq of Allah is for men. For example, to shave your beard. A person who shaves his beard, he's also changing the way Allah has created him. For women to cut their hair, Allah has given them long hair. A woman who cuts her hair, she's also changing the way, the form Allah Ta'ala created them. Some people, they remove their eyebrows, and some people, they go for this plastic surgery, and they to change the form how Allah created them. So a person who is doing this here, he's following the path of shaitan. And Allah says, whoever takes shaitan as his friend, then he is in a complete loss. Shaitan is promising them and is giving them all hopes, but it's only deceptions. And finally, they will enter the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect and save us. Then again, in the ending of the surah, Allah the end of the para, Allah Ta'ala mentions the rights of the women folk. And if a woman fears oppression from her husband, then what is the solution to it? And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says about the rights of the wives also. When a person has got more than one wife, Allah says in your heart, obviously you won't be able to have justice. You can't have exactly the same love for each of them. That's not possible. But you must fulfill the rights of everyone. Do not be that you love one more, then you cause harm to the other one. So this comes with regards to wives also. It comes with regards to children also. You can have love for one child more than the other child, but make sure you fulfill the rights of both of them equally. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions about the rights of people, that be fair and just. Even though sometimes you have to go against yourself, against your parents, against your close family members. Justice is normally because of two reasons a person is not just and fair. One is because of love and one is because of enmity. You don't like somebody, so you're not just to that person. You make zulam and oppression upon that person. Or you love somebody, so you favor that person. So both, in the fourth para, Allah mentions about loving somebody, a person is not just. And in the sixth para, Allah Ta'ala mentions that because of enmity of somebody, a person is not just. So Allah Ta'ala says it should not be so, that a Muslim is a person who is fair and just. It happened in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Jewish, one person had stolen, he was a munafiq, he stole some wealth, and then he went and, He thought the people will catch him. He hid it in the house of a Jewish person, whatever he had stolen. Next morning, the people, they were on the tracks, and they came to this person's house, and then he showed them the Jewish person's house. They went in the Jewish person's house, they found it. So anyhow, they were very upset. They went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi alayhi salam, according to the evidence, was supposed to pass against the Jewish person. But Allah Ta'ala said, ayat of the Quran, this was the justice of Islam, that the Jewish person was correct, and the other person was incorrect. So Allah Ta'ala sent the ayat that even though you love somebody, but a person must not be unjust, fulfill the rights of people according to the law of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Even though you have to go against yourself, you have to go against your own family members, and hatred for somebody, you don't like somebody, but still to fulfill his rights, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ have taqwa, the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah is fully aware exactly of the actions a person is doing. Allah give us tawfiq, every person's rights, our wives, our children's rights. The surah is mentioned in great detail. And the main thing is taqwa. When a person has got the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then a person will be able to fulfill rights. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.